Good morning. Welcome to chapel this morning. A special welcome if you're a visitor. It's particularly good. Sorry, I got revved up with the graphics this morning. Dave Hoppy Hopwood, ladies and gentlemen, is in the house. It's lovely to have Dave with us. Dave's recently broken ranks and had his hair cut elsewhere, so I'm so sorry we won't be doing that this morning. However, it remains to be seen if I can work in aliens into this morning's passage. We'll try. We are looking at Luke chapter 4, the first 12 verses in a moment. Sorry, I'm all of a diver. And the, today's title is Jesus and Temptation. So later in this morning's service, there'll be an opportunity to gather around the Lord's table, figuratively, obviously, as hops will be leading us through our communion, and we look forward to that. And an apology, I'm supposed to be holding up the notices. Angela's printed them. Eric and Angela have a bit of a busy time at the moment, so not here. And diligently printed them, and that was the first disaster today. I've left them behind. So Sarah and Anita, yeah, I'll get your copies to you. And there are some spares, I'm sure. They're on the website already, thanks to Jeff, that they're already out in the digital format. So open this morning's service in prayer. Before we do, I thought, in an old chapel tradition, and we are an old chapel, Ruby once told me off when Pierce and I led the service. She said, where was the Old Testament reading? And you always have an Old Testament and a New Testament reading. So you'll see the point in this one. Let's have a quick look. I'll just read it to you. It's just this one verse from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He humbled you, caused you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither of you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Shall we pray? And at the end of the prayer, we can say the family prayer together. So, dear Lord, we praise and thank you that we can freely meet together here in your name to praise you, thank you, and to learn from your word. Thank you for your guidance and all our blessings in this last week. Thank you for our blessings and every opportunity that we've had to be in your world and witness in any way. As to your glory, I'm sorry when we failed you, fallen short, but please be with us now as we once again draw close to you. Shall we say the family prayer? It'll be on the screen if you need it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Well done. So let's continue our praise as we sing our opening song, which is 366, Jesus is King, and I will extol him.
Thank you.
Do be seated. Okay, straight off the bat, let's look at today's reading, if you'd like to find it in your Bibles. I will say it again, because you can't say it too much. David Hunt used to say, God smiles when you open your Bible on your lap, which it doesn't matter if you're actually going to do that or not. I'm sure it would smile anyway, but it's just a sentiment. Isn't that a nice thing while you're finding the passage? Or what I've done is acquired, shall we say. We can remember C means, of course you can use this on the copyright terms, some images, and I've got the words up on screen. If you're I was going to look this up. What kind of learner is it that has to be seen? Thank you. It's sometimes easier with audio processing to see the words. Anyway, so they're on screen, or it enables me to go slow, which is really good. All right, so our reading. Here we go. Luke 4, 1 to 12. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here." Whoopsie, press the button twice. "For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands. Do not put your God to the test." Jesus answered, "It is said," "do not put your God to the test." It's worth saying twice, isn't it? There we go. Well, I've acquired some more images just to help me. And I'm sorry, it's no great theology. Probably quite the reverse. Turn over, masterminds on, in the word of Mike Harding. As we were talking to Harpy, we said, right, let's bookend this passage, and then we'll unpack some of those really meaty, wonderful big bits in the middle dialogue a little later on. Now, I've always really clung to and embraced, I suppose, for want of a better word, that end verse, so on the end bookmark, verse 12, do not put your God to the test. So it's always interesting when Hoppy asked me to come and help and to get in the way, probably, that it's the one advantage, actually, there can't be any other advantage in not knowing your Bible awfully well and being a great scholar. I look up the passage and think, what's it going to be? And yet again, I wasn't disappointed. Oh, that means something to me. That's one of my ones I know. I didn't know I'll know it now. I'm being asked to do something. I'll know that now. Many years ago, probably 20 odd years ago, when I was this big, thank you for not laughing. This isn't me. Funnily enough, my hair used to be like that. It was a complete nightmare. It was like a microphone cover. I think there must be a day when that now it looks like this, that it was right, like I could cope with it, but I can't remember that day. It sort of went from microphone covered days to I'm digressing, went down a rabbit hole there. On a Thursday night, my cousin and auntie and uncle would come round. It was every Thursday. And if it wasn't raining, David would play cricket with me. So every Thursday, we were a God-fearing family, and I knew all about God was in charge. And I would say to God, I'd go out into the garden because he can hear you better. Told you about the theology. And say, please don't let it rain. I will believe in you and I'll do anything you like if it doesn't rain today so I can play cricket. And sometimes it works, but of course we remember the rainy days and often it didn't. And I'd be disappointed. But there was always a trade-off. In that, I found this image. Sometimes God doesn't stop the rain. He just provides the umbrella. And I'm not sure how much I took it in, but we'd have a great time playing games instead. But it always leaves me to thinking, well, I've made this deal with God, and it doesn't always work. And out of the mouths of babes, are good things sometimes. I've lost my thread. And I would think he's providing a way, and it's still going to be okay. And then I'd make the deal again next Thursday. I'm going to digress a little bit. The phrase, out of the mouths of babes, actually comes from the Bible, which we looked this up together, didn't we? It's Psalm 8, verse 2. Matthew appears again, which I didn't know. All these colloquial sayings is worth looking up, because sometimes they are. We're thinking about temptation, and back then I was like conning God, sort of almost like making a deal. There we go. And of course, that is testing your God. And that got us to thinking, because at the end of the day, God didn't make puppets. He could have made us robots. But he gave us free will, the chance to go wrong, and it's a no-brainer. We're human, and we do go wrong. And but with free will, there's a point to Jesus, and because he loved us so much, then he could send his son for us. That makes some sense. This was a free image from a Christian resource. In their little search bar, I put filled with the Holy Spirit. So this young lady must have been very pleased when she was selected for one of a number of images. It's basically filled with the Holy Spirit. Relaxed, confident, at peace, at ease, duetting as intended. Let's back it up with the other end of our bookmark, which is the early verses. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned to Jordan and was led by the Spirit. And we said, isn't that a roadmap for us and a marker that even though, as part of the Trinity, right at the nose, he's going to arm wrestle with the devil. That's quite the wrong word, because there was no doubt in the outcome. But even so, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, that sword, that shield, as he went to have dialogue with the devil. Let's sing again, and we shall see all about Jesus taking the highest honour. So stand if you're able to 378. Jesus shall take the highest honor. Pardon? Yeah, I haven't forgotten.